when you're able to deliver specifically for your teams, your clients, and the asking your clients for referrals is a place where you feel like really icky. You're like, oh, I don't want to, maybe I'm not delivering well for them. Maybe I can't ask them for this. First off, make sure you're delivering for what you said you are before you go and ask them, can you send me more? Because this, the psychology behind this is like, oh, you want me to give you a referral to somebody that's going to do work so you aren't focused on my company? We're already losing. Why would I want you to go somewhere else or focus there? What is up, party people? Welcome back to the Epi. And again, this is not the pod. This isn't the podcast. This is the Epi, and it is going to be an epic Epi that it is. This week is interesting because this week is, we're coming at the end of Q4. You know, we're still about to jump into April, and a lot of this movement, right? We look at deal flow, and usually we want it to close as fast as possible. And we have our levels of deal flow coming in. And what Josh and I are talking about is like, we're running some paid media. We're doing our cold email. We're doing our cold outbound. And all these things kind of start to stack, especially as you're in that agency phase of going from 10,000 to 20,000 to 50,000, 50,000 plus. There's this large subset that is extremely, extremely important and becomes very, very reliable over time as you continue to deliver. And that is referrals. That glorious, glorious mailbox money, baby. That's what we're all here for. But seriously, like what we'll talk about is how do we get our network of referrals to start referraling? And that is a real word. That's a word that I'm going to use. That's a word I'm going to actually coin, kind of like the Epi.
It's in the dictionary. It's there. I promise. You look it up, it'll be there. Referraling. Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm excited to jump into this one today too, because this is something that I think initially people think about of like having my clients send me other clients. But it's something they never revisit or revamp or restructure to actually get people really excited about sending you clients. So I'm excited to jump into this. And this is something you and I've been doing for the last few years together. Yeah, man. Like you used to send us people for creative. I don't know if we sent you too many for paid media, but you used to send us a ton for creative.
So I'm actually telling you guys a true story that came into this first. So every year I say I will be the best partner you have ever been to all my partners. That is usually a team. That is usually my wife. That is usually my companies I'm a part of. That is usually the role that I live in, SaaS, et cetera. And for a long time, I was sending deal flow to the VizCap guys, Cody and Tyler and the rest of their crew. And I remember I was sending them so much business that like I've watched their company grow, and they were closing, they're doing, and they're fulfilling, they're doing all the right thing. I get a text message from Cody, and I'll find a photo of this because I took a couple photos. Get a text from Cody. He's like, hey, open your door. Okay. There was this person handed me a briefcase, a metal briefcase. And I was like, what is this? I open it up. It's thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in singles. And I text Cody right away. I was like, dude, what the fuck did you just do? He was like, did you get the briefcase? I was like, yeah, I got the briefcase. What? Why are you sending me this? And I literally lost my mind. And he read, there's a couple of books of like about gifting and how to reward people. Like he read something and he owed me my referral on the business I kept sending because we weren't doing that service. And I remember myself, I was like, I will never not have the opportunity. I would never not send that person business no matter what for the rest of my life, because A, the way that he gifted, and B, the way that he took care of me on that referral. And it's not always just money. So I want people to think about like referrals is inclusion, involvement, et cetera. And there's so many different people that we in our agency space could be thinking about this. And Josh, your perfect example was we ran paid media. It was very congruent for us to run paid media and get content. So the relationship that you and I had, and you might want to, maybe you can go into it because I think you were the one who established it with me, but like people fuck up what they do. They go, oh, 10% is the normal referral fee. Yeah, I'll pay you 10% for the next one lump sum, or actually it's going to be 6 months. Actually, it's going to be a year. And there's a couple of different structures of doing this. So talk to me about where you like people to begin.
Yeah, I think on the beginning side, you know, I don't think 10% is necessarily a bad thing. It's just, it's so common in the marketplace that it kind of becomes that, oh yeah, like I'm gonna get paid 10%, right? Which is not necessarily a bad thing. But then you also have people that will come to you and they're like, hey, I don't even want money. Like I've even heard you say that before. Like, hey man, I'm just gonna send you people. I you don't need to compensate me. And our knee-jerk reaction would be like, oh, okay, cool. Well, sweet, thanks, man. But you're not incentivized to send us anything if we're not paying you. And if you have someone that does that and they truly do refuse money to you, then I would start lumping that into some sort of gifting payout, right? And what I mean by that is know the person that you're talking to and start tracking all the payouts that you would normally send them. And instead of sending them just like straight cash, send them the craziest gift that you possibly can do. And the perfect example that I remember from this is when Gary Vaynerchuk was trying to land a client, and this is just like the art of gifting, right? He's trying to land a client and he sent him a signed Boston Bruins jersey to the client that he was trying to land, just to try and land that specific client. So sends him this Boston Bruins jersey, and the dude's like, dude, thank you so much. It was probably a $1,200 jersey that he sent to him. And and $1,200 for probably a contract that costs, $300,000, So with that being said, don't underestimate, one, the art of gifting in your referrals, especially if you have someone that's not necessarily monetarily incentivized. That's a really good starting point. So understand, are they monetarily incentivized, or would a really thoughtful gift weigh a little bit heavier for that person?
Well, this to me is very important in knowing, if you're going to, it's relationships, right? If you're going to build, there's a time and space. For me right now where I am in my business, people would just view referrals as just, you're kind of an affiliate. And that's one way of thinking about it. I don't think that is the total and correct way at all times, but it's a very interesting conversation around what is most important to the person that's sending you this business. Because a lot of the times here, there's a lot of people on the referral side, especially with relationships of service business to SaaS. Usually the person that you're talking to on the other side, before you go agency to agency, because that's an area I want to talk about, but agency to SaaS, the person you're usually working with, they might not have the authority to do anything different other than use the link and get paid, right? They might not be able to make the call to do more or give you more. And so you have to be open to these conversations. And usually what I like to go on is, if I'm sending business to an app, you can easily say give me the link, I want to get my referral on this. But the second best question that you can ask them is do you have any other opportunities for content or distribution in the next month or 2 months? Can I be involved in that? Can I be at that summit? Can I be in that content? Are you doing any blogs? The more amplification that you can give them without anything asking in return, because you're not only going to give them the business, but then you're going to give them a piece of content and give them distribution. So you kind of have a little bit of leverage here. And now look, if you need the money, you need the money. That's another thing that to talk about. And referral money, affiliate money to the agency using Shopify, using Triple Whale, using all these other tools, that's a real revenue source, especially at a significant size. Could you imagine Neil Patel not at their size? I think he recently did a podcast and they're like, it's like $100 million agency, Neil Patel Digital. Could you imagine his referral and size and the tools and apps that he's using? That's probably a major line item in his business.
Oh, for sure. Well, this is something for us, we've been even thinking about on the software side. We have so many touch points with agencies. And so last year we started to develop our affiliate network of, hey, what softwares can we start capturing some referral and affiliate money from? So that's a whole nother side of revenue generation, like you mentioned, that people often don't think of. Hey, how can I get my agencies on Triple Whale or another attribution software? How can we get our teams on, a good project management software?
What do you tell the team? Because this is real money that starts adding up, especially as you get good at what you're doing. Because we have our tech stack that we want them to be on. And we also have our tech stack that we can get them to switch to, because the incentive is cheaper. Usually it's two things. The SaaS tool will be hey, do you want to take the cash from this, or do you want to pass the savings on to the customer? They give you two options. It's not always two options. It could be whatever the fuck you want it to be. It could be, I want cash, but I also want the discount. Why can't I get that? You have to ask the question, because there's definitely margin for it to be there. We have those deals with some of these partners. So if you can tell them the revenue is important, especially if you're the one managing the tool, they're signing up for Motion, they're signing up for Triple, they're signing up for Creative, they're signing up for all of the things. There's no reason why, if it's going to be a service or a tool that's going to make your life or that client's success more likely, you got to use it. It's just at that point, smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think the way that agencies should be structuring their referrals as well is they have to get a little bit more creative with it. Like you mentioned, the 10% referral fee just doesn't just doesn't move the needle. It doesn't get people excited. So what we do is we kind of gamify our referral structure for our consultancy. I wish we would have done this inside of our agency as well.
And what do you mean by this?
Yeah, so we put a tiered structure in place. So essentially, you give us something, you get something in return. So for us, we're always looking to build our marketing assets, and every business should be looking to build their marketing assets. And what I mean by this is things like Google Business Reviews, recommendations on LinkedIn, testimonials and case studies. So what we do is take each of those concepts, and I use those three because that's exactly how our structure works. You leave us a Google Business Review. You leave us a recommendation on LinkedIn. Your referral bonus increases by $500. So every client that you bring us after you do this step of leaving us a recommendation on LinkedIn increases by $500. So The referral fee starts at a lower tier, and then it starts to incrementally increase if they just do really simple tasks, like leave a recommendation for us, is one, really effective, and it gets them excited and bought in to them kind of starting to refer you, because it's kind of like a video game, right? It's like achievement hunting almost, where you get an achievement and you've unlocked the next tier. And so that's essentially what we've done with our clients is, hey, leave us a recommendation on LinkedIn and your referral fee is now worth $2,000. Leave us a Google business review. Every referral you send to us is now worth $2,500. Hey, leave us a case study. Now it's worth $3,000. And for us, like, we'll pay and we'll lose money on the front end on some of these referrals because of our lifetime value. So make sure you understand your lifetime value, what you can actually pay out. But when we tell people like, hey, I want to pay you $3,000 to $5,000, depending on the referrals that you send us, that gets people excited, like $3,000, like just for making and all we require is that you send the person to the right email, right? So you just connect us via email. And then it all goes in tandem from there. Like, it's really easy for us to track that, attribute it directly to you and say, sweet, here's your payout for the month. You sent us 2 referrals. Here's $6,000 straight cash into their business.
There are some people, and especially, I think this works for some businesses, and I think it might not work for other businesses. For businesses that it doesn't work for, that they're just accepting cash from, it comes off their invoice. Like, that's the most logical place to put it or take it away from is like, you sent me X business, your invoice is this, here's what that fee would have been. Yeah, I know you might not want to take any money, but you have 2 places for this to go. It goes into A, we can apply that credit towards another thing, assets. It can go towards Google. It can go towards whatever you want it to be. I think you, as the owner of your service, need to be very understanding of where 2 things. One, if someone's giving you business and they don't want the money back, it should go off of the invoice. That's usually the first place that you can start at if they aren't going to accept the cash. 2, it can go off of, okay, well, you actually need more assets or creators or things to do our job better. We'll use what we would have paid you to go pay for that ourselves, and we take that off. Showing it on the invoice, showing that we're actually giving them a deduction is very important as well. Because when you said that, I was like, okay, where wouldn't this work and where would people get this really, really wrong? Is 2 things. And we actually ran into this stuff too, because we were a heavy part of our business with some very key people in the space. We had some really big names setting us business. And it's where all of a sudden we're checking, okay, this person gets 15%, this person gets 15%, this person gets 15%, this person gets 10%. And it was for the lifetime of the contract. And then all of a sudden we're like, oh dude, this is thousands, tens of thousands of dollars a month that is just pure margin gone. And that's really expensive.
It's very expensive. And that's where I personally do not treat our referral partners like a traditional affiliate. I think the affiliates that made that popular are software as a service of like that recurring fee. I don't think that's sustainable with a referral partner in the agency space because one, the tickets are different. The life cycles of clients are usually different as well. And so for us, we treat all of our referral partners as like independent contractors, almost like a closer, right? So your sales staff, like normally you'd pay your sales staff roughly 10% of contracted or a percentage of cash collected, something along those lines. So we treat our referral partners as the closer in that scenario. That's why they have to refer it to a specific email. So all those referrals, they come straight to me because I don't pay myself commission on closing a deal. Now, if I had to send that to my closer, I would have to pay him 10% of that deal. And then I would also have to pay 10% or whatever the contract value is to the referral partner as well, which would put us majorly in the red. So for us, when we're structuring these referral partners, you have to also keep that in mind and that the agency space is a little bit different than the SaaS space.
Well, it's funny because we had to fix it because we're losing a ton of cash. So we had to do it a certain way because I agree that lump sum, most people would be happy with this. I think more people is happy when you give one referral and you start collecting for a period of time. Like that's, again, like you mentioned, that's affiliate. That's a beautiful business to be with it. And it's a heavy incentive for people that might not do work with you, but they're a great referral source. And there's a lot of people in our industry that do this. Great things. It's important for our business to do it. So the way that we got around this is we started looking at it in chunks of 6 months. And you mentioned it, based upon the LTV of your normal retention. So we know for a fact 3 months is the minimum that you're going to get with us. So that's the most amount of money we're going to be able to pay for people. So in the first 3 months, they're getting the total referral in those 3 months. So it's a 50% referral on contract, everything. So if they come in for paid, but I close them on paid content email, it's still 50% of the entire contract. By month, from 1 to 3 full, from 3 to 6, it goes down to 10. From 6 to 9, it goes down to 5. And then anything past that, it goes to zero. And so that means they have a good amount of money through all, like all the services, and that we want them to send into it. And this is, we actually did the numbers around this. First off, we don't want to say no to these people, because it allows me to come back to them and actually get more money. Because say you're in this relationship, or get more introductions, say you're in the relationship and you pay them one lump sum. There really isn't a core reason for you to go back and ask them for more. If you aren't continually paying them, you can be like, hey man, like, hey, remember, just letting you know, like, don't forget us. Like, we'd love to pay you. Like, it's a weird, I've had to do it. There's a guy named Ryan Rouse. I was like, hey brother, I haven't given you a referral in a long time, or haven't given you a check in a long time, but I'd love, if you have anybody that comes across your way, let me know. It's much different if some of the referrals are still with us, they're collecting that check from me. So their only memory of me is a deposit. It makes that conversation a lot easier.
Yeah. And I totally understand that too, from that perspective. And if you have someone that can kind of manage the referrals for you, for us, you know, I'm a huge fan of like simplicity, right? Within any business. So for me, I'm going to take what I feel is going to be that longevity of the contract. So our average client stays with us for roughly 18 months right now. So we have a very extended lifetime value with our clients. So what I do is I put that in the lump sum, and I kind of bet on our team to say, hey, this is what you would get paid over 18 months for this contract regardless. I'm going to pay you that upfront in a lump sum versus us saying, hey, we're going to pay you out incrementally, but it's like kind of like lower ticket. It's like, you know, and that recurring revenue, I get what you're saying from like a psychology standpoint. Like, it kind of feels like you're stacking, you're starting to get those. And but for me to manage all of that, to say, okay, this person dropped off, so we have to take that out of the equation now, and we have to adjust that referral bonus. Like for me, like, hey, I want to pay you one time. Thank you so much. Here's a stack of cash that's going to be impactful and is going to hit your bank account. And you're going to be like, huh, that was a lot of money. Thanks. You know? There are two different ways of looking at this. And I don't think there's necessarily a right or wrong. I see where you're coming from for sure. But I think, especially if you're a younger agency and you don't necessarily have the staff to manage that, because here's what happens is if you don't have someone that can manage a more robust referral payout structure, you're going to probably drop the ball a few times on either payouts. And the last thing I ever want is my referral partner coming to me and saying, hey, I didn't get my payout this month. Where is it? You know, I want to be able to say, cool, we paid them. It's really simple. I check it one time a month and I say, all right, here's everything we commissioned from referrals. Send out the checks or send out the PayPals, right?
It's so true, dude. This is the worst feeling I ever had as someone having to be like, hey, did you send that? And I'm like, oh man. And dude, I'm ruthless in my payouts and checks. And that's why usually it's like Stripe and it's reoccurring and it never stops. So, but it's my question would be like, where would you even start getting referrals? Because at the beginning, you have to, and I had a call with a gentleman yesterday. I'm blanking on his name, but he was like, I met him on MentorPass and he goes, hey dude, I went back to my team and I'm going to go do things solo. And so I'm willing to take these type of contracts, because working in referrals is actually, or working and getting referrals, you kind of need to be buttoned up and you really need to know who you're able to deliver for and what are those costs and services. You sent me a Google team that we're going to use, right? Jumped on the call with them. Incredible call. Two things matter. How do they want the service to be? And what is the cost that we need to make sure it makes sense? So they're like, cool, here's our services and what we're going to do. And here's how much we're able to pay, or here's how much we're able to be paid and make sure that we can still make the margin that we want. That's the important thing of communication. But if you go to someone and be like, hey man, if you have any brands that you don't want to have, or anybody too small for you, which is usually the message, anybody too small, send them my way. What do I do with that? Like, you need to be buttoned up before I send anything.
And there's also a relationship to be had there as well. Like, I think people try to like just DM people and set up referral partnerships. You know, I think the reason that we had such a successful referral partnership in the agency is because we actually had a relationship with you. We attended your events. So if you're wanting to know where to start, well, you got to get in the right rooms with the right people that can do that. You need to know who you're going after. So think about the network that surrounds your ideal client, whether that's an e-commerce, right? What spokes of e-commerce do you not compete with, right? So if you run a creative agency, for an example, well, you run creative, you're not competing with paid ads, you're not competing with email retention, you're not competing with 3PLs. So you're looking for those decision makers that can make the introductions for you. And then secondary to that, like, you have to have a structure set up that gets people excited to jump in and say, like, yeah, I would do that. So like that's kind of like the starting base of, hey, this is where we would start setting up a referral structure and who we should be looking for.
It's so true, because you need to know like what services you are actually can service right now. So for instance, we're looking for more referral partners. We're wanting to build relationships with email specific areas. So we're talking to copywriters, we're talking about with other paid media teams. And look, we offer paid media, but it's a very straightforward conversation. It's like we are contractually obligated to not talk or discuss or sell paid media if it's coming from a referral from a paid media team, even though we have it. Same with us. If we send a lead over for paid media, maybe it's Google, maybe it's a thing that we can't do, they can't talk about them pitching or offering email because that's what we do. That's our core service because we're doing email for that team.
Yeah, that's what you had with us.
Exactly.
Because we ran paid media at our agency, but it's like, hey, we run paid. You guys can only do creative. And it's like, cool, understood. Hands off.
And look, business is business. Like, that's something that has to have, you have to have a conversation around this. And it's easy. It's as easy as that. And I think when you're able to deliver specifically for your teams, your clients, and the asking your clients for referrals is a place where you feel like really icky. You're like, oh, I don't want to, maybe I'm not delivering well for them. Maybe I can't ask them for this. Well, first off, make sure you're delivering for what you said you are before you go and ask them, can you send me more? Because the psychology behind this is like, oh, you want me to give you a referral to somebody that's going to do work so you aren't focused on my company? We're already losing. Why would I want you to go somewhere else or focus there? So how would you navigate that?
Yeah, I mean, well, you got to win first, right? Like that's the baseline, you know, that's the baseline of getting started. I mean, that was like so like second nature to me that like, yeah, like you should be winning if you're going to bring a conversation up with a client to have a referral.
Cross-sell, upsell, refer.
Yeah, exactly. So one, start winning for them. Two, come in with like a game plan, structure, payout, what it looks like, when they're going to get paid, right? So make sure you have all that kind of buttoned up before you're just like, yeah, like 10%, like, you know, we'll get you paid. You know, you want to have a plan in place. And the steps are kind of what constitutes a referral? Because this is something that people get mixed up all the time of, you know, hey, what actually constitutes a referral? Like you just sending me a lead doesn't mean that you get paid out, right? Like I gotta land them. You know, you're not just gonna get paid on making an introduction. I actually have to collect money from them. Two would be, how is the payout structure going to go? So timeline, when does the payout hit them? Is it gonna be every 30 days? How long do they have to get into the contract? For us, we always do our payouts after the second invoice. So for us, it's a 30-day window because we get paid upon sign and then we get paid second invoice. That allows us to at least break even, worst case scenario. So if they break the contract, we'll break even and we'll be okay. Now, that doesn't happen hardly ever. But what I will say is like, it does protect us from that. So look at your timeline. When do you break even on your referral to just make sure you're hedging your bets and make sure you're not taking an L on that contract? Because if you sent me someone and I came back to you and said, hey, man, like, listen, we signed them up. They paid for a month. They charged us back. So we're not going to, you know, this one didn't go through. Sorry about that, man. You'd be like, yeah, dude, no worries. Sorry for sending you a bad referral, you know? And then we would just continue on from there. But hedge your bets on that side. And then the final thing is like, have a rollout plan for these guys. So schedule a meeting with them. Don't just email it to them. Schedule a meeting. Hey guys, this is what the referral structure looks like. I'm going to take you through exactly what needs to happen, where you're going to send the referral to, what constitutes a good referral, and then this is how you're going to get paid, right? And then if you want to implement some like gamification or a tiered structure into that to like, hey, you're going to get paid more if you do X, Y, and Z, sweet. Add that in there as well and show them how to do that.
And what's important is like, I'm not doing Stripe, Bill, PayPal, Bitcoin. Like I'm not doing a bunch of payment. Like if you're sending me leads, you're going to get paid out in this manner and it's going to be that way. Like we might have a little bit of flexibility because some of our process of payout might allow for this. We'll probably just get them set up and deal as a contractor. And as that comes in, we'll just send them a payment. It's very simple like this. Or if it is like that and we know there's a little bit of retention, we'll accept a Stripe payment and we'll be able to pay them on or tell them what to bill us for. But usually we're like one way of paying, we're keeping it simple because we have a team that manages this, right? Like we do not want them having to pull from a bunch of different areas.
Yeah, Cash App.
Like I'm not going to Cash App you.
Apple Pay, all of them. Well, okay. That's insane.
Dude, what's interesting to me is, oh fuck, I just forgot I wasn't talking about this one. This was around the idea of when the referral gets too expensive and you can't pay it. I've had this situation. So we had to go back and like they sent us too much business. We're like, look, we actually can't pay this out. We don't have the cash yet, even though we've invoiced them. And you have to realize like the term of paying this back is like cash collected. So we can't pay you until the cash is collected in our bank. And then once that is, then we pay you 15 days at. So it's a net referral payment 15 days from cash collected. Because we're chasing down cash from our partners and our mind as a referrer, and I think about this way too. I structure my follow-up from the people that owe me money on a very systematic basis. I try to make sure, as someone that sends a lot of business a lot of places, I try to structure it in a way where I'm getting paid every single week from somebody. So the way this gets done, like in the way that you think about it, if you're a deal maker or if you're somebody that like likes to send a lot of deals different places, you have your normal check coming in every 2 weeks. So that first week of the month, you're trying to structure where's that first dollar coming in. So if you can get the referral on the first, 15th, and then the second of the week, like first, every week, when can that check hit? You have to allow at least for 7 to 15 days from when you sent the referral, when they should be paying you, because you need to give them a little bit of time to get that money in the door. And everybody has to realize when people are paid on the second and third of the month, basically, what is it? The first and third of the month or second and fourth of the month, depending on the payment structures, like you need to be the first one to be paid, but you don't want to be rude about it. So there's the ways of thinking about this.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like, are you saying like, hey, as far as like when you're paying them out, like how to make sure that they understand when they're getting paid out?
Well, two ways. Like me as the person that's giving the business, when to, hey, reach back out if it never came. Like there's a way that you have to communicate kindly to make sure that you're getting your payment out if you're the person expecting the referral. But if you're the one that's giving the referral, by you doing what you just said of like being very upfront, like here's when you're going to get paid. As soon as the cash hits the door, you get a confirmation email, or you'll know that it will be in your account no later than this specific date. It takes away all the fear or any of the follow-up coming from my end.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, setting those standards from the beginning. And if you do run into a spot, and here's the thing is, fortunately, I haven't run into the spot quite yet, like you've ran into, but transparency wins on that side. You know, it's like, hey, if you got to walk back a little bit of like the referral structure, like make good on the agreement, but like, hey, this was more than we expected. We got a little ambitious on our referral structure. Don't be afraid to have a conversation with them and just be like, hey, this is what I think we can do with this amount of volume, because there are economies of scale that you have to consider as you add in more, because you're going to probably bring on more teammates, more people into the structure. And also, sometimes you don't consider, you know, hey, if this has to go to another teammate to close and not you, and you're not getting paid commission on it, it's like, it's hard to pay out commission and referrals at the same time. So try to go in with the due diligence and know what you can pay out and what the max is you can pay out. Like crunch the numbers a few times, make sure you're not going to put the business in a place of detriment or kind of burn the referral bridge. So think about it before setting it all in stone.
Well, this is one of my favorite things to talk about. New business coming in, ways of building referral structures. I hope you guys enjoyed this. Next week, we're actually going to do a little bit of like a technical move here, right? Like we'll either dive into, Josh and I are going back and forth, depending on what the crowd says or other people say, or depending on what we think is most important at the time. We might do a little bit of like ops showing, because Josh does do a daily ops conversation where he's talking about different tips and tricks of how to run the agency, how to scale the agency, how to make sure everyone's got their bases covered. So we might go and do a little bit of a ClickUp tutorial walkthrough, or we might even talk about a little bit of Go High Level, but Josh uses it, I use it on both of the businesses. So there might be a nice little, you know, maybe some automations or some sales follow-up and back and forth, but we'll show you a little bit under the hood on our end. So if you're definitely interested, watch the video. If not, we'll do our best to kind of live color commentate as we go through some deep dive. But Josh, I hope you have a good weekend, brother.
Thank you, bro. We'll talk soon.
Take care, guys.